In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. So I have these light switches in my house. And you know, normally when you think about a light switch, you want to turn it on, what do? You flip it up, right? Well, I've got these two light switches that go out to the back porch and kind of a back walk area. And for some reason, when the switch was installed, it was installed upside down. And so, you know, when you try to turn it on, it goes down. And it throws me every single time. And it's not just one I have in my house. It's actually in the sacristy, this room back here, right inside the door. There's a light switch there. One switch turns on the lights upstairs, and one turns on the lights downstairs. Which one do you think turns on the light upstairs? The bottom one. And you know, I've been here almost 5 years, and that throws me every single time. Every time I walk in, I turn on the basement light. Well, there seems to be some logic to how this is supposed to work, right? I mean, it makes sense, right? Up is on. That's just the logical, intuitive thing, isn't it? But is it? Because you think about, we just got past Halloween, you remember those old Frankenstein movies when he's about to reanimate the monster and he pulls the switch, which way does it go? It goes down. Oh, so maybe it's not so intuitive. We only think about these things as being logical and intuitive and normal because that is the way that we have seen it our entire lives. Those are learned behaviors. And much of what we think is normal or logical is a learned behavior. We run into these kinds of things all the time that we just take for granted is normative. Male dominance and patriarchy are natural. Making money is the most important thing in life, and two for one is really always a good deal. It works until you have puppies or something, right? Well, the problem with learned behaviors and ideas is that they become so ingrained into our psyche that we just assume that they are normal or natural, or that's just the way it's supposed to be. But then what happens? Just when we become comfortable with these ideas and what is our sense of normal, God throws something at us. God makes us think about it. Now, when God throws something at us to surprise us, the first reaction is always to fight back. And in fact, if you look at every social change in the history of humanity, each one has had a backlash. There have even been religious arguments against social change. You know, we try to apply religion to something that may not always be about that. So we might have tried to justify saying people can be enslaved because St. Paul told a slave owner to take a slave back, or people of color can't be equal because Noah cursed his darker-skinned son Ham, or women can't be priests because, I don't know, Jesus had a beard or something. But in all of these cases, it's not actually scriptural. In all of these cases, scripture has been twisted to fit with a preconceived notion. And in every single one of these cases, when we have these preconceived notions, God issues a call to us. God continues to call us back to mercy, grace, community, and humility. And so we hold out these values that we believe are supposed to be normal. And God responds. And so when we say that wealth is the standard of fulfillment, Jesus tells us, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we say that happiness is the end-all, be-all goal in life, Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. When we say that confidence is that sign of leadership and attractiveness that we're all looking for, Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And when we say, hey, I can't help it, the rules are the rules, it's just the way it is, Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And even when we say that sometimes violence is necessary, Jesus tells us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Now, we were given these teachings, and we went on as a church. But over time, people forget teachings. We downplay them. We try to twist their meaning. And so God again responds by issuing another call. God sends out the apostles, the prophets, the martyrs, those who are the saints of the church. These are the people that we remember today on this Feast of All Saints. These people who are around our clear story windows, looking down upon us, reminding us of that call that God issued us. These are people who stirred things up. They broke the rules. They changed the standards. All so that we can be refocused on that simple message that God has given us. And these are people who suffered for their faith. People who were killed by secular powers like St. Peter, Saints Perpetua and Felicity. These were people who were even killed by religious authorities like St. Stephen and Joan of Arc. These were people who were witnesses to the harsh realities of life in their time like Martin Luther King and John Wesley. And so we had their message and we carry those messages with us, but then what do we do? Over time, we tamed them. We canonized them. We tried to bring their message down, take the edge off of it. And we repurposed their story and sanitized it. And so God goes back to work. God continues to call the saints to action even today. In the epistle lesson, this lesson from 1 John, a very short lesson we heard today, John says, see what love the Father has given us. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We should be called children of God. Today we are bringing in a new person to the fold of Christ. In baptism. In a few minutes, Esther will be carried back to the font. We'll be pouring a little water over her. We'll be praying that she doesn't get too fussy. But in that moment, she will be declared as a child of God. And as we watch this action, as we retake those baptismal vows which were taken on our behalf, which we have said over and over and over again, we are reminded of our own vows, of our own place as children of God. By virtue of our call as God's children, we too are called to be the peacemakers. We are called to be merciful. We are called to be meek. We are called to be humble. We are called to be the saints of today. We are called to be the ones who refocus the world on God. John goes on to say that the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know God. does not know us because it did not know God. Now, this does not mean we need to make the world know God so that we can become famous or have notoriety or prominence. It means that we have to make the world know God because God's way is the way of righteousness, truth, love, forbearance, peace, and goodness. And all of those things are things that are so lacking in the world. And all of those things are things for which the world so desperately hungers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake. And so what this means for us is it means that we must make the world see those things, because then the world will see God. And sometimes it means we have to break what is normal and what is conventional. It means we have to follow Jesus Christ. We have to follow that same Jesus who did those radical things. We have to follow the Jesus who had a drink with outsiders, who would break bread with deviants, who would embrace the unclean, turn over tables, and lift up the poor and lowly. If we are to be the saints of today, we have to see past the habits, sometimes the wrong habits that we have been taught. We have to see past the niceties. We have to unlearn the norms that stand in the way of justice and mercy. And we have to be the children of God that God has called us to be. Amen.